Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda. I'm your host today. I hope you guys are getting sound coming at you from beautiful Oceanside, California. It's a few degrees here. It's about 70. Getting ready for some rain. Type in Mikey if you can hear me. So I want to make sure people can hear. We were doing the chat room stuff a little earlier and talking about the weather. Pretty good in Texas. We're a little bit warmer than Texas, but we are getting ready for some rain on Friday and Saturday. So let me know, Yo and Mike, if you can hear, and we will get going. So I know I've had to refresh so many times on Mike's show and even Bill's show yesterday, and Mike did a great job. I got to thank him for all the stuff he does, and just keep going. Again, try to type in if you can hear me. Or if you can't, so that will help. anyway, so she's still refreshing. We're not getting sound again. If I know you're working, Mike, but type in yay or nay for the sound. So I want to get to. I know that in her area in upstate New York, she's got a lot of snow, not as much as Buffalo, but like I said, and then tomorrow night might catch part of Mike's show because we have a meeting with the mayor. We are trying to sue the park owners and get these people off their derrieres to sign the agreements to go forward, because it will not be class action, but it's a mass action whereby they do similar things, but it just has different connotations to it. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I am not a lawyer, and I'm proud of that. But anyway, so again, a lot of refreshing going on. And I promise to get to the redemption manual. It's up on my board. All I need to do is get into it after we start the show. So hopefully people can hear. I would like to start with scripture and then go into a little bit on the ACA about the taxes and stuff, and a lot of stuff in my local papers on Agenda 21. And I'll get through those quickly, and then we can spend the last half hour on all this stuff that I have gotten from Mikey and from Sean. I can't remember his last name, but anyway, hopefully people are getting sound. If not, they can call in, or, you know, hopefully. I don't know if Bill's around today. Rod Luke said he would come in. I've sent out messages to everybody, so we shall see. Anyway, I want to get started. This is from the Gospel of Mark. This is chapter 1:1-8. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And that is from the Gospel of Mark. Good words to remember. Hopefully, I'm so sorry, Yola. I don't know if Mike can hear, so we're going to go forward. It will be in the archives. I know this is Blog Talk Radio. I've had this trouble all week and some last week with not being able to hear, having to refresh 5 or 6 times to get in. So it's really weird. And let's see, she's in. Maybe I can type it in. Oh, Yola's calling in because she can hear. I wish Mike would let me know if he can hear. How are you, Miss Yola?
I'm here.
I know. Sick, I'm so. I went through this yesterday and on two shows. I had to refresh at least 5 times on each. And there's a, you know, at the top of your screen, they've changed.
It's there. I see it. Nothing works.
Okay.
I tried it.
The little sound thing that's in black and white?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been there. Doesn't matter what they do.
I know. It's awful. I think, I don't know what's going on with this site, but we got to find a better way. Mike just logged out. I don't know if it's because of his work or because he is trying to refresh. And unfortunately, he can't call in because he's working. But if he could type in, well, I got Bill now. So if hi, Bill. Welcome to the show. I'm getting through a few things. And anytime you want to hear the scripture, you guys are going to have to go back to archives to catch the first 5 minutes of the show. Welcome,
hi, Bill.
Everyone. Yola's called in as well. Are you here, Bill?
I'm here.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that I can hear you guys and stuff. All right. So basically, I've got a lot of stuff to get through, and then I want to get into stuff, and we can do really good things. I've got a guest coming in. I don't know who that is, whether it's Rod or Bill Bio. We'll see. But I know Mikey's got things he has to do. So anyway, I'm going to go into this brief synopsis of what Hillsdale College, which I read portions of on Mikey's show yesterday. It's from Imprimis. This is the Hillsdale College people. They're just wonderful people. I hope you can hear me, Mikey. That's all I need to know, because I know you refreshed. So since you're not on the line, I can't ask you. Basically, they were talking about the taxes and how many taxes are in this god-awful ACA, and the guest is gone, so maybe it was Rod trying to get in because he was trying to get in or wanted to come in today. So it says, in summary, the ACA has 3 major taxes in it. 2 are taxes on full-time employment, and the other is a tax on income. They may be implicit. They may be hidden. Politicians may not call them taxes, but that is what they are. Oh, welcome. That's who I was hoping to see. Hi, Ron. Stranger. I don't know if you can hear me. Let me know, because the other kids can't hear me, so they called in. Anyway, so the politicians may not call them taxes, but that is what they are. Their economic impact on workers varies widely, affecting low-skill workers the most. They create all kinds of productivity problems and will have visible and permanent effects on the economy. I have estimated that employment will be 3% less over the long term because of the ACA, and that national income, or GDP, if you like to think of it that way, will be 2% less. If you look at the productivity of costs alone, forgetting the fact that there will be a number of people not working anymore, they come to $6,000 per person who gets health insurance because of the law, and I'm not beginning to count the payments needed for health care providers. In conclusion, I can make you this promise. If you like your weak economy, you can keep your weak economy. Okay, so type in if you can hear, Ron, so, and welcome to the show, and definitely feel free to call in and comment on these things. I just want to go through the list of craziness in my local area. These are editorials, and a lot of it is Agenda 21, and then we will move on to the Redemption Manual. So this is says, conservatives have reason to hate Obama. This is from a person in who wrote in from Mission Hills in my area. The smug letter by Jerry Katona, November 11th, on the issue of partisan hatred suggested that conservatives hate Obama because he is black. But instead of educating us about how conservatives think the way they do, he only illustrates the simple-minded superficiality of liberal thought. Conservatives hate Obama because he is a socialist. His idols are left-wing radicals. He seeks to fundamentally change America because he doesn't like America. He thinks a huge central government can create a utopia of equality of outcome. He ignores the lessons of history and the myriad examples of the misery socialism creates. We really don't care about the color of his skin. And I just thought that was something to share with you guys. Okay. Any comments, ladies and gentlemen? Bill? Yo?
No.
I think we can change it. instead of calling him whatever, we could call him the destroyer in chief, because everything he's brought in is
He's got so many bad names, let me tell you. In fact, I was posting on Facebook today because my friend Lynn Wilkie from Vista Tea Party Patriots, the wife of Ken Happel, who has been on my show before, who seems to be busy doing other things, but I'll get him on here. I want to get Bradley Dean back on here. That's my one of my things I want to do. But they were talking about, there was mention of David Horowitz and the communist connection with all these people, and I said, I have read much on David Horowitz's, you know, Black Book of the American Left, and talking about the 30s where he was born into communism, and then the 60s and 70s and how this affected so much change in our country. And I said, if anybody could spot a commie, it's Horowitz. And so Lynn did the like button on that one. But anyway, so it's, look, I wouldn't call him just a socialist, although many of those ideologies, well, unless you go with the NAZI definition, National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany. Hi, Rod, welcome to the show. So glad everybody's here. It's just so good to see the group back. Anyway, the next one is the Keystone XL oil pipeline, and it says, the last stand Democrats in the Senate blocked the passage of approving the Keystone XL oil pipeline, which would have created thousands of jobs and taking America much closer to energy independence. However, liberal Democrat arrogance delayed the passage until Republicans take over control of the Senate in January, leaving it for President Obama to approve or veto. President Obama has unnecessarily delayed approving Keystone for nearly 2 years, which comes as no surprise. Mr. Obama has abused his executive order authority with edicts and declarations against oil, gas, and coal energy, and for unreliable green energy since he was first elected. Indeed, the president is more interested in pursuing the global warming hoax, which will cost taxpayers and make our electric bills skyrocket, as he said in his 2008 run for office. Worse, the blind pursuit of green energy will surely break the economic backs of business and the middle class and crush America's economy in the process. And this was actually a person who was a conservative from Carlsbad. Boy, wonders never cease, I'll tell you. You know, God works mysterious, I tell you.
The answer to all this is most of your major Democrats are invested in either carbon exchanges or green energy facilities. And all they're doing by trying to raise taxes on gas, or all they're doing by trying to block the Keystone, is they're protecting their investments.
Well, true, but they also have cronies like Warren Buffett.
It's going to screw the rest of us.
I know. No, they don't care. And everybody's in cahoots, and we will get a better explanation of it in about 20 minutes. But I want to go on this. It's talking about the war on coal, the war on cars, green cars, you know, dirty car, all this nonsense. So talking about SANDEG, which is San Diego's associated governments, you know, these are these public partner, private partnerships and NGOs, non-governmental organizations right out of Agenda 21. So I just want to get through this one and a couple others, and then we will go right to the Redemption Manual. And I know I have sent this out to you guys, to Yo, to Rod, to Bill, and others, and I know CH got it, so I'm hoping you guys take the time. I did read all 117 pages, and it's fascinating. I like going over it again so that I can get better acquainted with it. And the more I read it, the more I can commit it to memory. Anyway, this says, the war on cars equals a war on reality. This editorial has long backed expansion of San Diego's trolley system and supported smart growth principles. Oh, that's right out of A21. We have repeatedly called for coordinated international efforts to reduce greenhouse gases that contribute to global warming and have touted water and energy conservation. But it is impossible to accept environmental policies that are at odds with reality. We refer to the bedrock belief of many Greens that cars are evil and must go away, starting, of course, with the cars of others, which is fascism. It is this quasi-religious holding that drives increasingly grandiose state and federal environmental policies, yielding lawsuits that threaten the long-planned and badly needed expansion of Interstate 5 in San Diego County. Last week, a state appeals court, on a 2-1 vote, you're going to love this, I've been reading about this for about 2 weeks, upheld a lawsuit targeting the San Diego Association of Governments' long-range $200 billion regional transportation plan that included the freeway expansion because it allegedly didn't comport with the state regulations on climate change. The court did so even though the plan included a long-term commitment to ramp up spending on mass transit from an initial 36% of transportation budgets to a stunning 57% in the final decade, ending in, get this date, 2050. Right out of Agenda 21. Oh, this is already remarkable. There is little evidence of massive public demand for this level of spending on mass transit, and no evidence, none, of this much public interest in actually using mass transit. And I'm going to stop here for a second because I'm going to tell you something. For the time, the 6 years I've been fighting this, going to city councils and listening to others who understand what I'm talking about, you go to any place where we have this mass transit nonsense and you're stuck at a signal watching the Sprinter go by or the Coaster, these mass transit little trains, and you've got three or four boxcars, right? Okay? And in the back or maybe in the second to last car, I can count maybe seven or eight people on that train at any given time of day or day of the week. So anyway, continuing. But Sandag's plan still wasn't good enough for, you're going to love this, the Sierra Club, the Cleveland National Forest Foundation, and other green groups. California is not the boroughs of New York City at large. It is a sprawling state, and that is never going to change so long as housing is cheaper on the edges of the state's population centers. Cars are infinitely more convenient for a typical day's requirements, commuting to work, running errands, lunch breaks, getting kids to school, music classes, sports practice, or jobs. But instead of acknowledging this immense convenience factor, Greens seek policies that would create mass inconvenience. The Interstate 5 experience in North County is already often bad. If the freeway upgrade is blocked, it will become routinely horrible. For people who hate cars, this amounts to a desired result. They think this way, even as we see rapid progress in the developing for cleaner cars and not just the Prius, as the New York Times reported Sunday, the once distant promise of clean, affordable hydrogen-powered cars is starting to become a reality. That was a quote from the New York Times. With very positive implications for global warming. Pragmatic environmentalists will see this as good news, but not those who view cars and freeways the same way that most people think about the bubonic plague. And that's where we are with that mess. And it goes on and on and on. So I'm going to finish these last three, and then we are going to go play with the post office and how you can get, you know, what's the difference between the post office and the United Postal Service. And we're going to take it all the way live. I'm going to try to get as much of it as I can. So, again, if anyone wants to call in, 646-378-0321, all calls are welcome. Rod says, just think of how scared you would be if your car was removed and you could not drive anymore. You feel like you were stuck in prison. That's the whole idea, Rod. It's the FEMA camp prison. Oh, I didn't know about the act, but I'm going to get into that. And anything you want to add, please call in and let me know when we get into it, because it's going to be really cool. Okay, let me do these really quick. It says, this just blew me away because I've been fighting this for a long time as well. Customers can ditch meters, the smart meters, for a price. This is how we live in California. Some people oppose the wireless smart utility devices, including me. California regulators are ready to deliver a bill to utility customers who want to get rid of smart meters that transmit data continuously about household consumption of electricity and natural gas. After years of deliberations, utility regulators said this week that they are prepared to lock in a $75 fee for people who don't want a smart meter at their home, with an additional $10 monthly payment. The California Public Utilities Commission will vote on the fee December 18th. That's only a few days away. Aren't they sweet? Some utility customers have health concerns about the effects of wireless signals, while others oppose sharing detailed information about electricity and natural gas use. You think? Regulators across the country are grappling with similar complaints. Oh, all across the country. Yes, the New World Order. There's a quote from Susan Brinkman, who represents a tiny but vocal group of San Diego area utility customers opposed to the smart meters. And she says, it is not fair for individuals to have to pay to not be irradiated. Okay, so it says, we're not going to let go of this at all. We want these things banned. I agree with her. I got to find out how to get a hold of this one. She's the director of the Center for Electrosmog Prevention. California utilities and regulators, meanwhile, see smart meters as a crucial component of efforts to make the modern power grid more efficient and rein in air pollution. Just like they said that zip codes would make mail delivery more efficient. Gee, wonder where they got that from. It says, efficient and rain and air pollution linked to respiratory problems and climate change. There we go. See, they talk about climate change as if the science is settled every single day. And I'm sick of it. Given the green light by state regulators in 2007, San Diego Gas and Electric has equipped its entire territory with smart meters. They can't do it here because they don't own these meters. The guy who owns this park or runs it owns them. They can't touch them, thank God.
I bet these people are throwing a fit that the NOAA said that this drought don't have a thing to do with global warming.
Well, I think there's not one. I don't have an article on that, but I know I read something in the paper. Yeah, that's another story. I took the best of the best, and then so I could get on to the next deal. So I want to get through this, and we'll get to the last. Anyway, it says smart meters, and it says swapping out more than 1.4 million electric meters and adding advanced communications to 900,000 natural gas meters. Out of those customers, about 2,500 have had analog meters reinstalled at a cost of about $1.5 million. Here, follow the money. I'm telling you, it's just crazy. Thanks for putting the links in, Ron. For those who can, you have to send them to me for email because I can't like copy and paste right now. Smart meters have only just begun to fulfill their touted technological promise as customers monitor their own energy use remotely by smartphone, use the data to conserve energy and save money. SDG&E, that's our utility, says the proposed $75 fee and $10 monthly payments do not come close to covering its cost to reinstall the old technology. Well, then stop removing them, freaks. It wanted to charge a fee of nearly $190 with monthly payments of $13. Utilities Commission President Michael Peavy has recommended what he calls a more affordable 75 fee and billing the remainder to the customers. Isn't that special? What a creep. It's socializing the cost in a way. Peavy said, really? It's not unprecedented. We do that in many, many areas. Yes, we do, and we hate it, you miserable schmuck. Low-income customers would pay less to opt out from the smart meter, $10 initially with a $5 monthly fee, which is, as far as I'm concerned, is not acceptable either. And I'm going to bring in Ron, and thank you for coming. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, my God, I missed that voice. How are you?
I'm doing well. Sorry I've been absent for so long.
I know.
Voice, Ron.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Big Ron.
Mr. Bill, Miss Yola.
Yeah.
Glad to hear everyone. I want to let you get into talking about this redemption thing.
Okay.
I have not read it. I'll tell you, Mike sent me a link and you sent me a link.
Okay.
And I just perused like the first paragraph. But allow me, if I can, to give you my understanding of what I think you guys are looking at. The redemption, there's a process by which you can redeem your natural person, you, the real
right.
being, from the government and the straw man that's been created in your image. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay. And part of it may involve copywriting your name and filing a
yes.
UCC-1 filing statement.
Mm-hmm.
And they may even talk about a process using an IRS form 1099 OID.
The only one I saw or heard about was a 1041.
Okay. I've known about this for a long time.
Okay.
And I told Mikey, I said, be very careful what you do
right.
with the information that you have. I know someone who used this process.
Okay.
He was successful. He showed me the check for $198,000 from the Internal Revenue Service. And it was about a month later that they started knocking on his door wanting their money back.
Ooh.
Well, that's not good.
A 1099 OID is an original issue discount. This is something that I talked about previously. Banks use that, and large corporations use it. And this is one way that banks get reimbursed, so to speak, for bad loans. They write off the cost of the loan. So that means that you and I, the taxpayers, foot the bill for that loss. But I don't want to get off too far off in the weeds. Think about this for a moment.
Okay.
I don't doubt for a nanosecond that the premise behind mm-hmm. redemption is accurate. I believe that they do sell and trade birth certificates just like stock
right.
certificates.
Right.
They do believe that they own you. And for all
yes.
intents and purposes, they do own you. You work for Company Script, which is the
right.
money, the paper Federal
yeah.
Reserve notes.
Nonsense.
Do you think for a minute that if you knew everything there was to know about every underhanded, dirty, rotten,
yeah.
no good BS thing that they've created to put you in the position that you're in, if you knew it all,
mm-hmm.
do you think you could walk into a courtroom and prevail in front of a judge knowing all that information? Do you think that armed with all that information, the government's going to go, oh, gee, you caught me. We're sorry. We're going to leave you alone now.
Not all the time, but that one guy that went up against Reagan, that he told the CHP to leave him alone. So he
well,
did do that. And that's just one, I know.
One, and that's a story, and how do we verify that?
Right, right.
Yeah, I went about trying to verify some of these people. There was even a guy that I talked about in Florida who was a medical doctor, and
mm-hmm.
the Internal Revenue Service, they flat broke the rules. They sent out letters to his patients notifying them that the good doctor was under investigation by the Internal Revenue Service.
Mm-hmm.
He sued them because they had violated Section Title 26, 7703, I believe it is, or 7702, and he won.
Mm-hmm.
And it was $1,000 fine for each letter, and there was over 1,000 letters. The guy won over $1 million. He never
wow.
got paid.
Yeah.
Never got paid. Never
yeah.
got a dime. And Rod Luke said his brother-in-law tried that and ended up in jail. This is what I've been trying to tell people.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it sounds legit, and it may even be legit, doesn't mean that you can institute this and prevail.
Right.
To me, it's like going into court with Satan, okay, and he's appointed the judge and the jury and the lawyers, and you're going to argue your case of why Satan is bad and you should prevail over him. You know, it's just...
I know.
They own the whole thing. So all I'm trying to say, I'm not trying to tell you guys that, you know, this isn't right. or anything right. like that. I'm just trying to tell you, be very damned careful.
Careful.
About how you proceed with the information that you obtain.
Okay.
A little information
about,
can be a dangerous thing.
Dangerous thing. What about, yeah, what about the post office and doing general delivery?
I really don't think that there's much of anything to that. And that's why I put up that link there. That's one of a bazillion you can find online. And what they're referencing there is the Buck Act. And the Buck Act, what it did, according to the Patriot community, what they used to be called the Patriot community, is it created an overlay of federal districts. Does this sound familiar? In all of the states of the United States. But, Linda, you already know.
Right.
I sent you the links that in 1791, George Washington did exactly that.
The same thing.
Not through any horse manure Buck Act. He was doing, you know what he did was an executive order, essentially.
Oh, right.
And he addressed the United States Senate. And he told them, and it's there in absolute black and white writing, in 1791.
Oh, I know.
That based on the authority granted to me by Congress in this act in 1791, which would Congress passed about bootleg whiskey, and really one of the authorities in that act was allowing Washington to federalize troops to go in and quell Shay's rebellion or the whiskey rebellion. Okay, so he said, so based on the authority that was granted to Washington by Congress way back in the 1780s,
right,
he walks into the Senate. He didn't go to Congress. He went to the Senate.
Yes.
Because the Senate represents the states. He didn't go to the people. He went to the Senate. And he says, well, gee, guys, since Congress gave me this new authority, here's what I'm doing. And he created federal districts out of every frickin' state. And what that accomplished was it gave the federal government authority in all the states. That 10-mile square was now encompassed all the states. That's exactly what it did.
Just for the sake of argument or for kicks and giggles, can any of this be repealed, undone, and pared back?
Absolutely. And that's this goes back to what I preached until I was blue in the face. You don't resolve these problems by going to Congress, going to court,
right,
and forcing Congress to change the law. You do it by giving them, by saying no. Here's the difficult part.
Right.
The only way clear that I can see to say no is you have to walk away from all of it.
In other words, just like the disciples did.
Exactly.
Thank you.
It has to be all or nothing. If you remember way back when, I wrote a blog post about being a fence sitter. We can't sit on the fence. We cannot have one leg in this world and one leg in the free world where we really want to be. It's all or nothing.
Right. Oh, I know that. In fact, that's even in the sermons I've been hearing is you cannot partake of both worlds, the secular and what Jesus wants you to do. Mikey says, please explain in 2014 terms. Well, I think it's like Ron had said before, and possibly in times when before you had joined our group and listening to us, that you really have to be like we talked yesterday about the founders. They were all in. They knew they were going to lose everything, and they didn't care. They pledged their life, fortunes, and sacred honor, and that meant right down to the porch they had in the front of their house. They said, we're already in tyranny. What the hell have we got to lose? And it's true. Like, is that not correct, Ron, that we just walk away, pick up the cross?
Absolutely. And I'm not trying to call anybody out.
Oh,
Rob Luke Rod Luke and I were having a conversation in the chat room, and this goes back probably okay. 4 or 5 years, about this very subject. And I said, you can't be half measure. It's got to be all the way, just say no. And he said, well, you know, they'll put you in prison. And I said, yeah, they put Christ in prison.
Right.
And he said, well, they crucified him. And I said, you're right, they did. What are you afraid of?
214, is that Mikey?
Sure is.
That's the thing, personally, that's the thing that keeps us from doing what needs to be done.
Right.
You know?
I get
it. It's like that song about changing the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting here waiting on the world to change. The point of that song is that you're watching the world change. If you want to change it, you have to change it. It's up to you, and it's up to
me.
Go, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, go for it.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know, stop you, Rock, but I can hardly get a hold of you. So let's just stay on it. Let's just bottom line this thing once and for all, okay? So, do we just pay our taxes like good little soldiers? Because, I mean, I could write the IRS a check tonight. They're not accepting my 2013 tax return. And I really don't mind writing them this check because in one of my stock accounts, I nearly doubled it this year. So it's not coming out of my root money. So I don't care. Because here's the bottom line, everyone. I am not going to go to jail by myself, okay? I see a lot of talk. And I've done my share. You know, we're all fragmented, and I know, and I'm not mentioning names because I do it too. It's not anything about that. And this is everywhere. It's like all of our shows. It's like, you know, if I don't go to yours, you don't go to mine. If I don't agree with you, you know, we're all like, we're not organized. You know what I mean? And again, this goes for me too. And, you know, we don't have any Patrick Henrys. We don't have any Jeffersons or Adamses. We're all... seriously, fragmented. Because, you know, who's Michael B? Who's Linda Sills? Who's Ron Goldman? Who's right. Doc Green out of Houston? I mean, nobody knows who we are. Nobody cares, really. You know? So, you know, I'm at the point where if there's no way, you know, if this redemption thing doesn't work, if writing on your tax return saying you're not a federal employee, you know, see IRC code 3401, sections A, B, and C, if none of that works, because Peter Erickson, you know, he wrote the book Cracking the Code. He shows on his website, he shows people that have won. I've seen the checks, the PDFs from the Treasury given back. Now, Ron, you said at a later time they could come back for this money and put you in jail and all this other stuff. So, I mean, can we just go along? Because if we're not going to do this together, okay, if we're not even going to pool our money together and file class action suits saying that the, you know, the federal income tax code, we're being converted into federal employees by deception. If we're not going to do something like that, you know, like why the homosexuals are winning, why other minorities are winning, they get together, they get the best lawyers,
they're united,
and they win lawsuits. We're not doing anything like that. And I'm not going to go to prison by myself. So, Ron, with that said, should I just write them the damn check and just be a good soldier? Seriously.
Dude, it sounds like that's the plan to me. Seriously. Obviously, they've sent you a letter that they're determined under 6702. Am I correct?
I don't know. I didn't look at the numbers.
Yeah, it's 6701 or 6702. They've determined that your return is frivolous.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so they're going to want to fine you $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pete Hendrickson, I think he's on the right track. I think he's 100% accurate and correct. Doesn't matter. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
The prisons are full of guys who are right. Irwin Schiff is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Can you beat them? You bet. Do some people, you know, do some people fall through the cracks? And you betcha. I've never been one of those guys that was lucky enough to fall through the cracks. You know?
No, you didn't go to prison.
No, you're right, I didn't. But it's damn sure costing me a fortune now.
Mm.
And, you know, the thing, honestly, the group I was involved with at the time, it was just kind of awesome the way it came together. They started getting off into the redemption stuff and a bunch of other stuff. And to me, they were in it. They were concerned about the money. I don't give a damn about the money.
No, it's not about the money, Ron.
Right.
It's the principle. It's the principle. Correct. Why do I have to be their whore when I'm not? I'm not a federal employee. I'm not a privileged person.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mike.
You know, that's what this is about.
Exactly.
So, Ron,
it's about the principle. How and,
right.
and you know,
but
here's,
I'm not
going to
do this alone. You know,
well,
I'm not.
Well, here's the rub. It's like any other battle that we fight in this life. We have to decide what those principles are worth. What are you willing to lose? And I've said that a million times.
Mm-hmm.
What are you willing to lose?
Mm-hmm. No, well, I agree with
your
you
principle?
On that.
It has nothing to do with money. It's how much are you willing to sacrifice?
Right, but here's the difference, though, Ron. Here's the difference, though. Our founding fathers were willing to go down as a group, not
sure.
as individuals. See, that's my problem.
Absolutely.
That's my problem, is that no one is uniting together. And if you want to do the safe route, why aren't we filing class action suits? Why aren't we flooding the courts with what we know to be the truth, that if you don't fall under 3401C, you're not liable for the tax? Why aren't we suing? Why, we're not even doing that. We're doing nothing but sitting on talk shows, and I'm putting myself in there, and we're just bitching and moaning.
No,
we're
I agree.
Active,
why, that's
know.
One of the reasons why I'm not doing it anymore.
You know what? I'm going to be right behind you, because you know what? I could reach more people on Facebook for free. I've got 3,500 followers, and I've had a conversation today about this subject with 10, 20 people. I don't need to spend $180 a month on two networks for nothing. For what? For
that
what?
That was my frustration. I've been doing this for, criminy, over 10 years. And, you look around and you're like, people don't give a damn. They don't care. They really
don't
care. That's like this. That's like the thing with the... this CIA report coming out, okay?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Now,
Ron?
Yeah.
Oh, then we got Robert here.
People got so upset with me. And I hear people, you know, everybody likes to watch 24, and everybody likes to root for who we think is the good guy. But here's the thing. Regardless of what you think is going on in the world, okay? The one thing that set us apart as a society are the words that are enshrined in our Declaration of Independence, okay? And that's what precipitated our Constitution. The moment
who sounds
that
like you're underwater? Do you hear that submarine?
That's Robert.
Oh, okay.
The moment we discard those principles... that all men are created equal. The idea that we don't torture, we don't do these things to our prisoners of war, we are above that, regardless of what the enemy does. The moment we lose sight of that, you might as well take those documents and set them on fire, because the words written in them don't mean a damn thing.
Hey,
and
Ron.
People aren't upset about that, and they should be, and that ought to tell you the state of where we're at.
No, well, we're upset about Ferguson. Big freaking deal.
Can I read what I wrote today to everybody in America?
Yeah,
these
you got
were
a couple
my
minutes.
Thoughts.
Go ahead.
I said, now that I'm feeling like malaise, the crucial enemy against me were my own religion. Go figure. If the CIA is really working for Cuba because of waterboarding techniques, and we have to use those type of techniques to secure and protect our borders so 9/11 will never happen again. Then why did we elect the two big O's into office, meaning Julio Marco, my opponent? I was in the third grade when Kennedy was assassinated. I was in the third grade when the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban Missile Crisis transpired and had to lay down underneath my desk, and classmates held hands while walking to their homes when the school sent us home. I was in the ninth grade when Martin Luther King was assassinated, and my cousin Judy died due to a brain tumor as she was 19 years of age. And the African Americans were so angry, they looted and stole from my aunt's store on Southwest Hunter Street, now Martin Luther King Boulevard, Atlanta, Georgia. My cousin always complained of violent headaches, and just like me, no one listened to her. These statements are also written in the newsletter, Tallahassee, Florida. Now I have a right to say Marco Rubio and Julio Gonzalez, FDJD, do not belong in office anymore because they were not even born yet when these three incidents happened on my time. Marco Rubio and Julio Gonzalez, FDJD, you will never fill my Jack Kennedy, my president, when I was 5 years old. That's what I said.
Okay.
And I got so angry when I heard that waterboarding technique at 7 o'clock in the morning. I was so mad, guys.
Hang on. Let me ask a question, Robert. All right? For all those people out there that are okay with waterboarding or torture of any kind, okay, if these methods are actually effective, why is it we don't allow our judicial system, our police power, to employ those same techniques? Why is that?
Can I jump in on that? We're not far from it. Can I jump in on that? Hold on, Rob.
Yeah.
One second, because you got to read your letter thing. We could talk about waterboarding and what we don't like and we don't like. If we don't like it so much, why are we still funding it? You know we're aiding and abetting all of this, don't you? Do you realize that we're accomplices?
Yes.
We're accomplices to these crimes. So what is the point? See, this is what I just have to say this. If we're not going to accomplish, if we're just going to sit around and verbalize what we don't like, we're still aiding and abetting. We are just as much criminal as they are. Well, that's my point. So when are we all going to find the lawyers, when are we going to unite, and when are we going to file class action suits like the homosexuals do? And they win.
I'm doing it as we speak. I'm going to, I promise.
No, but we should do it with you. Did you have lawyers?
Yes, I do have a lawyer.
Well, then, Robert, then you email me at hirertruthradio@gmail.com with their names and their phone numbers. I would like to talk to them because you know what? We're either going to crap or we're going to get off the pot. I mean, seriously.
There's a guy I'm going to talk to that does nothing but fight against City Hall. This guy wins every formal complaint that you guys wanted to. And I've been talking with my attorney because I didn't get my life in order. And, you know, I've been doing my best, all right? I received 18% of the vote against Rubio. That's pretty damn good, I think. And so, you know.
But the system's corrupt, Robert. We're not going to win by winning an office seat, or we're not going to win by booting out with this guy. That's not going to do it. You see, here's how, and I want to use the homosexual example one more time. This is why they win. All of them get together. They get good lawyers, right? And then politicians realize, hey, they're building a voting block. I could use that to get reelected. You see, if we become strong enough, politicians are going to say, you know what, these guys that are against this tax thing and realize they're not federal employees, they're going to be a really big block. Do you get that? That's how the liberals win.
Let me ask you a question, Mikey.
Sure.
How does one become unopposed? That's how the guy won. How does one become unopposed? Because the campaign treasurer resigns, and they use the funds to pay off they become unopposed. So how do you fight an unopposed election? You can't fight an unopposed election because no one doesn't see you on the ballot. And that's why I'm mad. And then I have an explanation. This is what happened to me at 7 a.m. this morning. Fox News reporting 12/10/2014, 7 a.m. In the morning about waterboarding techniques and whether or not the CIA is working for Cuba now, I believe Sarasota, Florida has elected the wrong person.
But waterboarding or not, it's not going to resolve our issue of being robbed of our labor.
Right.
That's not going to do anything.
But quite frankly,
I'm not interested. And I don't care. You know what? I don't care who gets waterboarded. That's not my interest. My interest is that between 20% and 30% of my labor is being falsely taken away. And every American should be outraged at that. Forget about if you are not being waterboarded, to hell with it. You should be upset that 20% to 30% at least of your labor, of your wealth, is being robbed from you. That should be the number one topic. Because if it isn't, you're wasting your time.
Think of it this way, Mike. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, and I've not verbalized this very often, but I've looked at this tax issue seven ways from Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is this. You owe the tax, and the reason you owe the tax is because you've been extended the privilege of using Federal Reserve banknotes in lieu of paying your debts.
Right.
I remember that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, you never have to pay for anything.
No.
I think it all comes down to one simple little thing. The noose of control is tightening around our necks.
It's been that way for a long time. We just didn't know
it. Sure.
Every aspect of the things we talk about, it always back and you look at it, it's about control.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you a question, guys. What happened to the Tea Party? Where are they? They disappeared. You don't hear Tea Party now, have you? I haven't heard Tea Party mentioned since the election.
Well, I don't know.
There's
a thing on right now on the Fox News. The professor is telling students that the Tea Party is compared to Tea Party to Nazis.
I saw that. I think I saw it today or yesterday. I just want to, we got a couple minutes left. I'm going to give everybody a chance, and Ron's got to go. Say your parting thoughts, Ron, and then I'll get to Bill and everybody else. I love you guys. Go.
Glad you guys let me call in and spout off for a little bit.
Anytime.
God bless y'all. And
come back again.
Absolutely. We'll see y'all later.
God bless, man. Love you, Ron.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's go to Bill, and then we'll go to down the line.
God bless everybody, and just hold ground till he gets here.
Yeah, absolutely. And Yola, thanks, Bill.
Absolutely. God bless to everybody, and take care, and talk to you all next week. It was great
sweetie. That was great, Yola. I just want to give Robert a couple seconds, and then go to Mikey B.
I don't know what else to say. I'm doing the best I can, Mikey.
I know.
I'm not upset with anyone in particular.
But Mikey, I'm still second in line till January. They haven't been sworn in yet. So I'm second. So the moral of the story, Mikey, is if my opponent gets hit by a bus, I'm in. So I'm attacking him to no end. And if I can read my last statement real quick,
just a couple seconds here. So go ahead.
I said Fox News reporting in the morning about waterboarding techniques, whether or not the CIA is working for Cuba now. I believe Sarasota County, Florida has elected the wrong person to represent District 74. If I heard wrong concerning this matter, please send me to my ears, nose, or throat physician. My enemies for this racial divide race, my former class race, which is true, my Strider brothers who had the Republican primary stuff at their temple, and my former class race who represent the standard brutality racial statistics. I am enjoying a nice cigar right now as my former nursing classmates went against me too. Under the Pylon Gonzalez ticket for District 72 and 74, health care and education will increase 40%, and small businesses will decrease 40%. Sarasota County does not realize when you place band-aids on top of insurance premiums for the municipality, government now owns your small business. I tried preaching to all the small businesses, but they would not listen to my canned concept for balancing the budget for the unknown state of Florida. I sold ISIS having a good time on me with this one. This is why I called out the red light district of Venice. I called them out. I said the red light district of Venice, Sarasota County, Florida, which is means that all the physicians on Rialto.
I don't understand.
They're all whores. They're all whores. That's all they
okay.
are.
Okay, Mikey, say your thoughts.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just basically, I just don't see the point of, you know, we're not organized. We're not creating lawsuits like others, and you know, I'm just at the point where, you know, if no one's really interested in this, then why am I spending this money on a show when I can communicate for free? And there's really, you know, I'm not going to get hung on a tree, if you will, by myself. So
right,
you know,
I understand that.
So I'm at the point where, you know, hey, I'll just be a good little soldier, and I'll just find other ways of making money, and I'll use that money to pay these pricks off, and I'll keep my lifestyle. I mean, you know, why not?
I know,
yeah.
It's pretty nuts. I just, you know, I want to thank everybody, and you know, because everybody has so many different ideas, but I do know that everybody that's been here, the people that we've talked to tonight, everybody that's in the chat room and on the lines, they are godly people. We understand that whole thing. I was reading from scripture. We know that the founders are pretty cool people, except when, and Ron is correct, it's corroborated that he districtized all the states. He went to the Senate, and that was George Washington. So anything that came afterwards didn't matter. It's like, you know, and we can reverse it, but I don't know. Like I said, it may take a revolution to do it. I don't know. I don't think that.
Well, it's already here, Linda. I mean, I saw an article where a 13-year-old was really burned. They put gasoline on her.
That's a crime. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a real bloody revolution in the streets. To overthrow this mess, but.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
I'm not advocating
Ferguson and the bus. You got the government trying to throw the CIA under the bus. You got the government throwing us under the bus. I mean,
I know. Well, CIA is no angels.
On a powder keg, it's going to explode.
Oh, I know it will. Yeah, it'll implode. I get it. Guys, thank you so much. Be blessed. I've got about 1 minute left to play a little bit of Living in America. Thank you, Mikey, Yola, Bill.
Thank you.
Robert. And, of course, everyone else that was here before.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely. I'm getting ready for Christmas. I'm making lists.
Yeah.
I'm cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cooking good food.
God bless everybody.
You guys, thanks.
Love you all. God bless Bill.
Thank you.
And
say
Phil.
Hi to Nick.
We'll
all right,
do. Love. Bye-bye.
Just anywhere. Over the transcontinental, over the
Thanks again, guys. See you tomorrow night on Mikey's show. I might be late. I've got a meeting with the mayor. Love you guys. Be blessed. Good night.
Bye-bye.